Blog Talk Radio.
I know what you're thinking. Oh, goody. He's doing a live one on a Monday. Well, yes, your prayers are answered, my friends. This is Kay's Son and Friends this Monday, 2 days before the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. It is also Martin Luther King Day. And so that's Bob Marley talking about the one love. I guess we could all be friends now. Now that people are realizing that they were just mistaken, or they were doing what their president wanted them to do, and they were answering the call of their commander in chief, their president, and he told them to go and do that. So hopefully he can pardon them. And you know, these are interesting times as we think about Dr. King, because things haven't been this turbulent from a political standpoint since that era of the 60s and the civil rights era, and all of the very violent times those days were. I'm going to have my dad call in, talk about his association with Dr. King. Hopefully we can get him to talk about that. I'm sure, he'll want to talk about it. But if he has time, hopefully he can call in. That's what I'm talking about. But, it's interesting. You know, these are the similar times like that, right? And a seismic shift, I think, in history. There are those, every day is historical, right? But there are those times in history where you can feel things shifting. And the times that things have shifted on that level, where the country takes some sort of leap forward, have pretty much in this country been about race, as I think about it, right? The seismic shifts have been, or at least race has been a part of the whole, played a large part of the whole. And the events of the last couple of weeks obviously realized that America is not really, practices selective democracy. White supremacy is selective democracy. I saw a post somewhere, a line somewhere on the internet saying that white democracy cannot survive if white supremacy survives, or white supremacy cannot survive in democracy. I think we might have talked about that a little bit. If you hold everyone true to the contract on the piece of paper, as I was telling someone earlier today, and Byron, I'm sure, can attest to that, if you hold everyone true to the contract that is written on the piece of the paper, which is what Dr. King's strategy is, that everybody should be treated equally, because that's what's written on a piece of paper. But obviously we found out that those people only pay attention to the piece of paper when it applies to them, and when they're tired of it, they try to change the rules. So very similar to those days during the civil rights era, when cats got so upset, and when black people was going to come to their school and sit next to their children, and they wanted to stand in the way of the schoolhouse and stand outside and go crazy and do all them things. It's similar, right? That angry lynch mob mentality that these people have. Yeah, the double standards in America have really been put on blast for everybody in the country to see, but it's getting ready to be a turning point. Also, too, you know, as someone who has family, not just my family that I talk about for the most part, you know, in the politics, but also have extended family members who are just from Washington, from the Virginia area, that happen to work on Capitol Hill, as well as friends that I've grown up with that work in government and work on Capitol Hill, just like, you know, regular civil servants jobs, you know. And, you know, to have people that want to threaten people because they don't vote the way they want, or the vote goes the opposite way, or they don't like really democracy when it comes back and smacks them in the face. You know, these people don't realize, you know, it's a big country, you know, and that is the people's house, like they were saying, but it's all the people's house. So you don't have a right to kind of screw it up just because you feel like it. And if you've seen some of the footage that just came out recently about these guys ransacking through the place, you know, it's really, it reminded me of the movie Planet of the Apes, the original, back in the day, because, you know, the old adage, or how they used to try to talk about the racist people used to try to talk about black people being like monkeys or whatever, and just the kind of a substandard intelligence. That's really what that reminded me of, watching those guys rifle through those papers and not know what they're looking at, and not, you know, have a basic understanding of basic civics and laws and government, and just looking through the papers, and they initially thought Ted Cruz was screwing them, and then they realized, objection, that's what we want, right? Oh, you know, so it's really kind of interesting to see what happens. But I'm going to bring Byron in, the brother, the legendary historian, give his take. I know, always got an interesting take. You're down there in D.C., B., where...
Yes, sir. The swamp and the... Because, see, I remember I told you the swamp is ecologically a creative place. Well, the cesspool is draining, and it's draining very quickly, as it should. And celebrate today, my brother, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Celebrate it. I mean, think of this, January 18th, 2021, a day of service in the cause of feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, healing the sick, and giving hope to the hopeless, all as followers in the service of the Prince of Peace. You see, never forget this, that the celebration of this person on this day is grounded in spiritual theology and a commitment to peace on earth, goodwill to all men, women, children, and nations. And so we salute those like yourself. You're part of the, what I consider the New Underground Railroad Express. Why do we celebrate this day? This is about cultural ancestry. And we must, in all the pandemics that's going on, we're saluting the power of civil, nonviolent activity. Not violent. See, we can't separate Martin Luther King from his theology. And that's the critical concept of right now, where we are at the crossroads of a spiritual and moral nation, one in which we can see the elements of the evil and bad taken and rooted out of our system right now, because this is the very moment where this country is either going to survive and sustain, or it could go down in the flames of history, as most young nations of 250 years or and less in age. This is still a new nation primarily, but I'm encouraged, people, being in Washington, yes, I don't mind having 25,000 troops on my streets. For those of you who forget history, in 1968, assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., it was that weekend, that night, the next day, the National Guard were in this city. We were on a total and complete lockdown. Eric, when I tell you, you couldn't get from an alleyway onto anywhere outside or into the city unless you went through a checkpoint by the National Guard. And to make it even more severe, that Easter Sunday, this city was under a 4 p.m. lockdown. You had to be in your house 4 p.m. Easter Sunday. So, been there, done that. I'm very happy they're here. because I want this government to restore itself to its moral foundation from the top down, not from the bottom up. And the only way this is going to succeed is, yes, the optics of an outdoor celebration is surrounded by the most secure forces I've ever seen. And if anything should go down, you don't want to even imagine. So let's take that one off of the universal concept that something could happen. We're protected for it. And if something does happen, guess what? It's time to root out those who want to destroy. Force them out of the shadows of evil and darkness. Because right now they're scurrying back into the hole that they emerged. So I'm happy they're going to scrub all of the digital data faces that they've got. They're scrubbing so much information right now that, as Mike Fugusi said the other day, a former FBI attorney said, you know what, it'd be better for you to turn yourself in right now, because that knock on the door may not even be a knock if they're on your list. Do yourself and your nation right now a favor and turn yourself in.
Hello? Eric?
I'm sorry, brother. You can hear me right now, right? I was going to say, it's interesting how their system has imploded on itself. Byron, if you can still hear me, give me a call back. I see that your call dropped. The system has kind of imploded on itself, what is what I'm trying to say. That here we go. I'm going to let you back in here. Sorry about that, B.
Yeah.
Here now.
That's okay.
Okay, sorry about
I'm
that.
I'm here. Thank
all right,
you.
So let me just got you. So the system has kind of imploded on itself, because these guys were all, you know, 2 months ago, they were big supporters of the police and BLM.
Oh, yeah.
and Antifa were terrorists and all this, and the cops and support the cops, and they're traveling to support the police. And now, two weeks later, when the system, the very system that they talk about respecting the law and order, doesn't work out for them, they hate the cops and their cops suck and they're beating up the police. And the very system of supremacy that all of them have upheld just by the nature of it's built up has even come, and certainly has been, the police force has been a pillar of white supremacy, the enforcement arm of it. But even that, even its engagement and its culpability in the being one of the foundations of white supremacy has caused white supremacy to implode on it, the very police department, the very thing that is used to enforce white supremacy. White supremacy itself has even eaten that up, you know, by the response of so many of these Trump supporters and come back to attack the very thing that protected them at one time. It's really deep, you know, the whole psychology and all that, that the whites who have put on or put the whites who don't have through, and how they're able to do that Jedi mind trick on them from a tribal perspective, from a white supremacy perspective. And everything else is built upon that one layer. And as they're screwing everybody around, and as it really becomes a class type of system, you know, we're always eliminating, whittle down, VIP, 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 to where it's just two motherfuckers in the VIP room, you know, and everybody's climbing, and it's not really, I guess what I'm saying is, people have to feel welcome. Everybody's got to feel welcome and feel like they have a part. And I guess that's why these people have felt left out, even though they really had no reason to feel left out. But when you saw how clueless they were when they got in the Senate chambers and the House chambers, and how they just were walking around clueless, as like, wow, we've never really been here. And even seeing, not even understanding what they were doing, where they were standing, the reverency of I guess, of it all. You know, going to you understand it being in D.C. and what I've learned every time I've visited D.C. the dichotomy or the contrasting thing about America is for African-American, anybody who considers himself a patriotic African-American like I do, like you do, obviously we're conflicted, right? Because we're being patriotic and loving a country that doesn't love us, you know? And you go down here and you see, I see these monuments to our country, the Capitol, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial. These are monuments to our society, and people have built our society and our society, right? And you understand that they uphold all of these things with such reverence. And you're in these hallowed halls and all of this thing, and it's all of this myth and this whole narrative. And then to find out that it, you know, the conflict with us is that the narrative doesn't really include us as African Americans, never really did. And then really to find out in 2021 that these cats don't even respect the narrative that they created, you know,
right.
And that many of us who are conflicted are more patriotic than these individuals who ran up in that spot and listened to this asshole with all these lies. Hello.
Hey, oh, yeah, I'm right
here.
Are
you there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, still here. But you're right, Eric, because the conflicting optics now being revealed in the manner in which they have been, everybody's expecting some kind of violent activity on Sunday. Nothing. The most
right.
that they had, yes, there were a few people who showed up at the Virginia State Capitol, gun, you know, supporting their rifles, but staying within the zone for which they were given the right to do free speech. No violence.
Yeah, the same in
so,
Michigan
yeah,
as well, too,
yeah.
from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So rooting out those who participated in the scale that crossed the line, thank goodness
mm-hmm.
for technology. Because
right.
most of these people don't even realize that they have been filmed and ID'd. And yes, it is a matter of time, but thank goodness time is
mm-hmm.
what we want to make sure that those who have been exposed, because some of them have been officers of the law, some of them have been in the military. And if you notice, in the state of New York, Letitia James is going after police. She's going after the unions. See, you have to break up where the root of evil exists. FOP,
exactly.
It's time that y'all get a reckoning, because we know
right.
you have been hiding your forces of your money. And see, here's something else to really reflect, America, because the next biggest wave is going to have to take on the gun industry and the fact that the
mm-hmm.
NRA is filing for bankruptcy. Watch how slow it gets the permission to leave the state of New York. As much as we want them gone, there's no rush to allow them to use the system to pimp their bankruptcy for what they've done and what they
right.
have continued to do. And the budgets that's set up now, defunding the police, it has to start defunding the military-industrial complex budget. See, that's what Obama was doing in his last 4 years, and that's really set off the Republican Party in a virtual scramble, because those contracts were going to the Lindsey Grahams. They were going to the Mississippi and the southern states and those states that got serious defense contracts, siphoning off the
right.
money that's supposed to go to the infrastructure of the United States. That's the
yeah,
criminal
I mean,
activity.
You gotta make sure the money goes to the right place. But you know, I've never been really,
yeah.
To be honest, you know, I've never really been down with the defund phrasing of even the police department.
Yeah,
you know, I've always, you know,
I've been yeah.
advocating for a couple of years now that of retraining of cops, paying them more money, getting them better trained, right? So that was what I was talking about originally, was inclusive in that kind of social work training, psychology degree training, getting them
yeah.
and paying them more money. But now they're talking about you reshuffle or restructure the police department, bring in an actual professional social worker. That's where if we're talking about reshuffling or re-spending the money like that, that's fine. But I was never for really defunding any of these things, because you don't want to be caught, especially with your military. You don't want to be called ass out, but of course we know that they get the lion's share, or more than their share, of the budget oftentimes.
Yes,
all the
but
time.
See, what you have to start connecting the dots. Where did the proliferation of all these guns come from? I'm willing to bet you right now, over the last 3 weeks,
surplus,
including the insurrection, is that the gun sales have flown off the charts. We're not the ones buying all the guns. Do you know that
right.
over 50% of the weapons purchased are purchased by the weapons purchased in the United States of over 300 million weapons, over 50% of those weapons are purchased by 3% of the population.
Right.
Think about that. So right now, those militias, those posse comitatus, those airheads who think that they can come storm the Capitol without repercussion
mm-hmm.
have engaged in a massive amount of gun purchasing right now. So who's at fault? A defense contract that pays Remington and pays Colt and pays those who are making the AK-15s in the United States and paying them to make weapons of destruction because they can't. The surplus then of weapons has to go to one of two places. It either goes to overseas diplomacy, which is exactly what the Trump administration was doing in trying to sell arms to Yemen and Saudi Arabia, getting them together. That was no it was so obvious what he was peddling, because this country, other than democracy, right now is peddling arms merchants. We are the number one arms merchants dealer in the world.
Say we are.
Yes, the United States is. So consequently, many of
we
those
are
weapons that are being manufactured by our American corporation, by your defense contract,
yeah. Hold on.
Ends
you're
up
we
being
are...
in the hands of
bruh,
Al-Qaeda.
Bruh,
it ends
bruh,
up being
bruh,
in the
bruh,
hands.
Bruh,
I mean,
bruh,
yeah.
Bruh. You're saying we are during the Trump administration, or are you just saying we
every
are in general?
Every administration.
The United States.
Every administration. More now because the Trump administration in its Middle East policy has been peddling weaponry to Saudi Arabia. They will destabilize the balance of power. Moving the Jerusalem to the ambassador's residence into Jerusalem was a provocative moment. It has always
mm-hmm.
been about armament to Israel, protection of Israel.
Right.
And they've been playing with the dynamic that damn near blew up in their faces if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
There's so much that's going to start unraveling primarily because of that concept. Mike Pompeo, former head of CIA, was not using peace diplomacy. He was using armament diplomacy to bully and play a game of extortion.
Right.
With the allies. That's the game that they were playing. I was supposed
that it might have worked had it not been for the pandemic. Really, the thing that's messing them up
pretty
is
much.
The pandemic, which and now you have the supplies not being there, that they lied about the supplies,
right.
People not having the surplus. But I kind of think, and you know, I've been saying this from day one, this guy's a criminal, so everything's up for grabs. So, you know, I was thinking from back when he was initially talking about democratic states and maybe was acting like he wasn't going to be as supportive with some of the democratic states, I can totally see these guys, you know, selling some of the stock of the vaccine on a black market. You know, I can see Trump having his little shadow crew, loyalists, grab a couple of containers of the vaccine and selling on a black market somewhere, millions of dollars worth. How is it that is the supplies, and now they're saying that the supplies that the states are supposed to be getting aren't there, and they've been lied to? You know, this is like really proves how stupid these people are. This proves how stupid, or it's making the people that support him look even stupider. That every, like you're saying, every bit of information that continues to come out about this guy is just. You know, it's embarrassing if you're supporting him, but it's infuriating if you've been talking about it all along. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Just think about the the despicable aspect of this man lying all this time to the entire country, and then about the vaccine of all things. And then you see his crony Azar get on TV the other day and tap dance around the subject and just kind of soft sell it. Yeah. I mean, all of these people, in my estimation, should really, you know, they have to be held accountable and get brought up on some kind of charges. You know, these Republicans and your boy Lindsey Graham talking about they want to unify the country now, and impeaching this jackass won't unify the country, which is complete, you know.
They want a kumbaya moment based on their way of trying to say, Mayor Cooper, I'm so sorry. No, you have to stand accountable, Mitch McConnell. 12 years you've been engaged in obstruction of government. And we have to hold mm-hmm. you accountable, you, Paul Ryan, Boehner, what's his name from Kentucky, Paul, what's his face? All of them have been engaged in treasonous activities. And
yeah.
coming out in the manner in which even to deny you were complicit in giving tours in the Capitol, I don't care if it was your staff person, your cousin, somebody broke the protocol that was established by the Capitol Police since March not to have tours. Now, how did those mm-hmm. people get in there? You got them on camera. You got who signed them in. That's not that difficult. That's why I'm saying put these people on notice. Root them out because they are the snakes in the pit who are really somebody in West. It's Arizona, a congresswoman there is talking about secession. Get her removed from the well of the Congress. She has no place being there. Complete and total violation of the 14th Amendment just to even suggest that silliness.
Yeah,
so it's encouraging because we need to have this moment of an enema. Our federal government will be experiencing somewhat of an enema, flushing out the cesspool of vileness that came with this failed experiment and having some Fortune 500 wannabe run the nation and who is not even closely aware of how government works. He knows how to pimp
right.
it. He knows how to pimp the system. Bankrupting, turning in bankruptcy how many times? 5 or 6 times? So that's why I say with respect to the NRA, they want to file bankruptcy, let them. There's no guarantee they can get through the system or even be given a free pass to get out of the state of New York to move to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Shut them down.
Yeah. I mean, the whole this is what I've been trying to, and I in my little video clip, my little kitchen report thing, and what I've always noticed about politics is that the, you know, just because I was brought up around it, and learn some of the stuff I've learned about it just as much as we had to learn our schoolwork the way we're
yeah.
doing it. And so you have an understanding of how things work. And I think, you know, our educational system getting away from teaching people about government, civics, and all that has really caused people to not know what's up. Immigration, obviously, you got so many people coming from other countries, they don't really – whatever the immigration test is, it's not going to be a test of really knowing what's up in America, right? I'm sure it's kind of a cursory test, and how can it be? And
right.
how can it can't be but so extensive because the people don't live here. There's a lived experience of living in the country. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, these people talk about conspiracies, and people want to selectively believe in conspiracies. And the interesting thing is that the people that really know about conspiracies are us. As a people, black people, because
yeah.
the things that yeah. have been called conspiracies have been true. You know, the conspiracies have been true about us. You know, it's a conspiracy of the Tuskegee experiment, our first slavery, obviously, the whole conspiracy of the notion of slavery. But then just go down the line as it pertains to us as a people, all of these conspiracy theories, Tuskegee and, you know, the substandard intelligence, every single aspect. And so some of the pitches of and you know JFK getting assassinated. You know, when you come on the scene and you're telling people and you're talking conspiracy to people, you know, and especially when you talk to people who've dealt with conspiracies, yeah, we know what you're talking about. But the conspiracies right. y'all are talking about, the conspiracies y'all are talking about don't exist. You know, the conspiracy against the Republican or conspiracy against middle America, that doesn't exist. There's no conspiracy against, or, you know, Jews will not replace us, like as if there's a conspiracy to replace a white males or white people or anybody in this country with another race. You know, so it's just ironic that the people who have been the ones who are perpetuating a lot of the stuff of that conspiracies are made of are crying foul against other people, or I guess against each other, whatever works for them.
Wow.
You know?
Hey, listen, the dynamics of revealing the lies, as in other words, the stuff hitting the fan right now, because there's a flushing of some very vile things that were all up in that White House. Even now, on his way out, because I'm looking at the headlines as we're doing the show, and here's one that just came across. Trump's 11th hour assault on the civil service by stripping job protections runs out of time. Here's another one. This is all within the last hour or so. Here's one. Here's three of them. Trump administration's last-minute policy changes. Here's one. Social service providers can discriminate based on sexual orientation. Here's another one. Adoption agencies can turn away same-sex couples. Here's another one. Homeless shelters can turn away queer teenagers. Democracy is about inclusion. Here's a man that's engaged in cultural, social, political, economic exclusion. This is not who this nation is. And yes, they're going to have the Biden administration coming in is going to have to do an entire sweep of all these guidelines he signed into order because they were never legislation. And yeah, we got to flush this system out. It is vile, people.
I was just thinking the same thing. You definitely have to go through every level. I mean, the only way to get rid of the racism, the structural embedded racism within our society, is to fully go through it and do basically a bed bug sweep.
Basically, you're right. That's it. I mean, it's like, who does this congressperson, Wyoming GOP chairman, floats secession after Cheney votes to impeach Trump? Who the hell does she think she is?
Right.
See, this is if you swore an oath to serve and protect the Constitution and its rule of law, you cannot make public statements like that and just walk around with impunity. You're supposed to be a public official.
Code of ethics that they have once they get down there, you know, there's a certain amount of decorum and you know, that the respect they used to show each other, obviously, if people or anybody who sees is a nerd like us into politics and might watch old debates or whatever, or the few times you might have seen it when it was important events in the country, you could hear them talking about so-and-so, my friend from here, and the gentleman, and this and that, because they're not supposed to attack people personally. But there's also that decorum extends to, you know, not making scurrilous accusations, like, you know, asking people to resign and trying to impeach people, like the one QAnon woman is talking about. After Joe Biden is inaugurated the next day, she's going to open impeachment hearings or whatever against him. It's just, you know, just
right.
That's the thing about service. People who worked in government understand there's a certain amount of decorum and there's a general order of business that things are done.
Right.
And, you know, the misconception that it is everybody's house and everybody, but it's a job, motherfucker. It's a job like anything else. And people who do it professionally that run your government, and they're not just trying to rip you off. And you know, this is what I'm saying. People have to understand it's like a corporation. The government is like a corporation. So if you have understanding of businesses and how businesses work, then you have some structural understanding of your government. And just to attack it,
right,
to be, you know, to have some sort of caveman, wild animal perspective is lunacy.
Well, yeah, and right, but now we have to put them back into the box they came from. And so the challenge is there. It can be done. It will be done. I think it's encouraging that the system has sustained another one of its contractions. And we don't know all of the shakeout over the next 100 days and plus, because that element will be back in the shadows again. But it's one thing to establish that on this day, at least up to this moment, at this time frame that we're in, is that we sustained that contraction, because the last one was so big, over 750,000 men were killed in that civil war. We can't afford to go through that again, nor should we have to. And those who want to engage in exciting it to get to that moment, you're traitors. You're not patriots. You have no desire to keep the ideal alive. You are pure evil and need to be expelled from the country. No longer to accept you here. We have to put a light on every one of these shadows and the organizations that are in the business of nefarious activity to destroy the ideal. We fought very hard to build this nation for nothing. Just to have you tear it down because you're upset? Get in line. You're not even in the first 100,000. Okay? Because we got a long list of I would like to take this up with y'all. This is the visual that we have to give back, Eric, because if we succumb and capitulate to it, then it makes us look weak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we can't afford to look weak right now. We have no place for weakness right now. This is profiles and courage time.
You're right, and certainly, you know, the Democrats are long overdue in terms of starting to look strong again. And you know what I'm going to like about Joe is his, I want to say his gaffes that he makes, or just, you know, when he gets fired up sometime and he'll say some stuff. He'll talk some trash and he may have to walk it back a little bit every once in a while. But he does it from a perspective of the Democratic side, you know, like when he said, you know, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that, you know, but
right,
your intention behind it, and it might have been couched in some white supremacy, but your intention behind trying to get people to vote for you is a good intention, is a good objective.
Yeah.
So, you know, that type of fire, I'll be happy to see from him as a –
yeah.
As a the Democratic, you know, just because, you know, Democrats always, you know, cool Obama, calm, and we always coming off all a little bit soft sometimes. You want somebody with a little bit of fire, they can get a little riled up. And Biden shows that every once in a while, you know.
Right. So it's a dawning of a new day. And yes, we're under some very serious restrictions here in the nation's capital. But it's one of security and strength that is being shown, as well as recognizing the rights to have a voice of difference, but not having the right to engage in violence to make your opinion the only opinion worth engaging. Doesn't work like that in this nation. So the public body politic and the body public has spoken. So we will move forward, and there will be probably a force of about 5,000 to 6,000 troops that stay in the city after Wednesday. You know, one of my friends called me from Florida and said, "How's the one night in Baghdad going along up there?" you get the semblance, Eric.
And the guy is trying to find the latest, one of the latest things in news, other than all of the dampening to some of these regulations that you quoted, but also, always having to be about himself, trying to have this big send off where everybody's not cooperating, wanting to have the military send off and here and there, and maybe at Andrews Air Force Base, and I guess when he gets home in Mar-a-Lago. And I guess
the military here in the city said it ain't happening. They're not engaging in anything on the White House lawn. Now, if there is a send off, it'll be at Andrews Air Force Base, and that too is minimized to just a handful to say goodbye. See you, don't want to be you. Okay? That's the latest. I can tell you that's as of this afternoon. Military said, nope. Not happening. No 21-gun salute, no flyover. You can barely get on the helicopter to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I guess it's not soon enough for them. I mean, this guy is his first president in 150 years or whatever, not to go to his successor's inauguration,
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Well, I guess it's par for the course. Judging who the dude is, he's that guy that doesn't follow any of it. It's just someone having any kind of self-respect, because I wonder, there's really not much. I guess he'll have his brand, but
maybe.
That's what I'm saying, trying to figure out the logic.
Yeah.
The logic of hate. I
think the fact that New York has shut down all contractual relationships with any Trump organization is a first step in defunding him. I think it's a great move, and it's probably, and corporate America is not telling the current GOP members that any one of them that voted to question the election, GOP funding support is not forthcoming by quite a few of those corporate 500s that were supporting them and their candidates over the last 4 or 5 years. So that's a memo that just went out as well. So, yes, they're getting ready to strip him of his assets as well as they should.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with that move by a lot of these corporations to kind of cut back on their funding of a lot of these GOP organizations that were involved with Trump and these guys this round. I guess being impressed, I shouldn't be that impressed. I mean, the guy did encourage an insurrection. He did almost burn the Capitol down. So I guess. They could have stepped up a lot sooner about a lot of other issues, It's interesting how many people, I don't understand that mentality of the mentality that these people think by, because it's almost like, what America are you living in that you want to overthrow the way of life that you have? And I guess the surprising thing was that so many people were surprised when they went to try and get on the airplane or getting back in a rental car, and they were stopped and couldn't get on the no-fly, or are now on a no-fly list and all of these other things. Yeah, because that's terrorist activity. And the fact that you thought that America is the type of place where you can do that type of activity and just go home and get back to the same life, the life that you were trying to upend, at least for some other people, I guess that's what you must have thought. Just the fact that whatever their process of thinking about this stuff was, that they were thinking about it, it's like, wow, you guys really just thought that was the best idea, right? Just to say to hell with it and march down there and turn stuff over and beat stuff off and you're gone. Because the masses of people that were involved in that, as racist as they were, they were being used by the militia members and the really hardcore ones that were looking to murder Pelosi and hang Mike Pence and harm other members, and do real damage,
And here's something else. We got to acknowledge that these are the 74 million Republicans who voted. These are some of them, not all of them, but these are a hardcore element of the Republican constituency that did this. Let's not get it twisted. Yes, they're insurrectionists, and yes, they're domestic terrorists, but they are Republican voters.
Right, right.
And we have to call them out as such, because just to identify them as domestic terrorists does not go far enough.
Yeah. And you got to make sure the media and other heads do that, because you're exactly right with that, to call them out what they are, because a lot of times they try to soft sell it, you know. They'll
yeah.
soft sell them, you know. They'll start calling them, I mean, for a minute they're calling them protesters, right? So,
right,
you know,
oh, right, protesters. Traitors, this is what traitors look like.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, you're right. And that's why, I called out some of my journalist friends and said, listen, take it to the next level. There's no fear right now except the atmosphere and the fear that they're afraid to go through. Step through it. This is not the time to be mamsy-pamsy. You have a platform. Please use it to extol the truth. Debunk, defunct, defend truth. That's the only way we're going to overcome and purge those who felt the need to a fascist type of authoritarian system in place that's to represent the United States of America. Remember this, you're 74 million, you're a minority. Our 81, we're the majority, and majority rules. That's the way it works. You don't like it, leave. Because that standard bearer, the ideals will not change based on the solid foundation it was built upon. And yes, it's flawed. It is extremely flawed. But it's not because it doesn't have the guardrails to readjust in mid-flight. That's what's happening right now. We're in adjustment time. Quite a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people got to believe. I mean, there's an opportunity now to kind of make a shift back to the center, and to kind of extinguish that type of the racism. I mean, you know, it's going to take a couple of generations, but the more we have, you know, if you count the number of Democratic administrations as opposed to Republican administrations, you know, that kind of has something to do with it in terms of the direction of the country, right? And so up until this point, I think the Democrats, we've just caught up, because we had Ronald Reagan 8
right.
years, Big George Bush 4 years, that's 12, George Jr., whatever, another 12, another 8, that's 20, right? So
yeah.
We need about that many years of Democratic administrations, at least, to kind of set even the playing field. And so with the election of Barack Obama and him winning a reelection, and now the Republican president after him being a one-termer, there's a potential for, you know, we get Joe Biden in here for these 4 years, and if he decides to run for reelection, which he might or might not do, we have a strong candidate to run for president with a potential 8 year behind that. And then you can get some traction in terms of Democratic administrations in the White House with strong candidates, really kind of put some things in place, some Democratic policies in place, like the Republicans do, you know, when they have their 30-year plan. You know, hopefully the Democrats.
Well, you know, what's really going to be interesting is that where the stock market was actually flooding the business community with paper notes, now the government is being forced to flood the system with paper notes. Okay? Realize, because the inflation rate probably goes go out the roof, but it was brought upon by bad economic policies and tax cuts. So there's going to be some pain, okay? and some reconstruction.
What does that mean for average people? You're talking about it flooded with notes. What does that mean for the average person?
Paper money. No, monopoly money. Notes.
Yeah, I know
that's
what it means.
So we're getting ready to flood the market with more paper so that the part of the stimulus is making sure that, yeah, folks, we might be getting $2,000 a month, Eric, for certain elements of the populace simply because the desire to keep the foreclosures and the bankruptcies and the destitute populace from exploding beyond its rims, because it's to the edge right now. I mean, we ain't even got enough hospital beds right now to deal with the COVID, let alone the food basket lines that are dwindling in food because of poor farming techniques and administration. So we're kind of up the creek right now. So the best way this country can sustain without crashing completely is to put some money into people's hands and let them spend to stay alive.
Right.
Corporate America is still going to survive. People with on the margins will be able to survive living on the margins, but it will reduce some of the overall stress and anxiety, especially with the pandemic that has now infected almost sort of going on 25 million people, and what is it? We've got 403,000 people dead, and 500,000 by the end of the month is what they're predicting. That ain't nothing to play with.
Yeah. This there is a new way of life that we're upon. I think that clearly, I don't have to think about it either way, but also too what the pandemic has forced us to realize, and I guess innovations that probably would eventually have arrived at, but the pandemic forced society to arrive at these innovations a little bit sooner. And that's the whole concept of home commuting, home schooling, virtual schooling, virtual commuting, the whole concept of that. It seems really, when I think about it, people doing stuff via the little screen and stuff, it just reminds me of, when we were kids, those futuristic movies where people were in space and were living in space, the Jetsons, people in their different little houses throughout space and the galaxy and communicating through the video screens. And I think that our society has become adjusted to that and really found out and used technology to see. I think we're probably going to see, even when we're all out of this, a way where a lot of companies are going to cut back the bottom line by having a lot of virtual employees. The kinks and the type of technology has been worked out where I guess the main concern, which is to make sure companies make sure their employees are doing the right thing and working on their time at home. And clearly now technology is able to track that. So, I think our society has changed in that respect. Well, we probably will never have people, rush hours like we used to have or go in the workplace. Or if it is, it's going to be staggered, But I think those days that we used to know growing up, 6 to 9, rush hour, if you lived in a big city, the whole image of the commute, me living in Jersey outside New York City, just that whole kind of traditional image. I think those days are long gone, clearly, from this pandemic and what technology
is now. Yeah, for real. But the encouraging signs, again, is that a collective forward thrust that is being orchestrated by professionals. You see, we have to go back to that bad thing.
I'm saying that's one of the good things, developments that will probably come out of it a positive way.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. I mean, that's the reason why I'm applauding the structural effort to certify the foundation of the structure. That has to be really get back to making sure the cracks are now mended, because there's some serious foundational cracks. And once we address those, we'll be able to see them coming together. It's the first thing with the 100 million doses getting into people's arms. If indeed Biden succeeds in that area on the first 100 days, you know, we'll even give him a buy if he gets to 85 million. Because that's right now, it's so pathetic that any success to help curb.
Right. I'm just getting ready to say that. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's
yeah.
That's at least the team is in place to make those kinds of assessments and have practical manners of addressing them and employing the full force of the federal government and what it's supposed to represent, so that we do commit to what today really is all about: feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, healing the sick, and giving hope to the hopeless. And I'll throw one more thing on that. That fire log is protecting the planet. Because if we don't do that, there won't be any place for us to do all those altruistic and moralistic values that will sustain us as a beacon for the world in our democratic ideals. So it is a big challenge, but we must address it and attack it like it is a pandemic in itself.
Right. Right. You know, we got about a little bit under 3 minutes, under 4 minutes. Before we jump off, you know, one of the other, you know, this New Yorker footage, this guy who works for the New Yorker magazine, has got new footage with inside the Capitol. Interesting stuff. But also one of the new things that come to light is that this, some woman stole a computer or something in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Yeah.
And she was going to give it to a friend who was going to sell it to somebody in Russia. I mean, you hear stuff
See,
like
Russia's,
that. Like,
how is it that Russia's back in the, even the conversation
in
and
the
there's
mix,
no
right?
collusion?
Yeah, right.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And I'm just
how
wondering.
How does that
where...
come back in, Eric? Are we writing bad scripts in Hollywood again? What's going on?
I'm just wondering, where's the patriotism from people, man? I mean, we were coming up. Russia was supposed to be our arch rival, you know, and I'm not saying that was good either, but we went to the extreme other side where we're not even – we're so mad at our government, and it's not like they're doing drastically. It ain't like a 180 total shift, motherfucker. It's just they voted for somebody else. Your man lost the election. What you want to give secrets to the other country to – what? You know, I mean, the stuff is just so – crazily outlandish. It's like, wow, you guys are really nuts. You guys are really kind of nuts, man.
That's right. So once we let the pecans hit the ground, we'll pick up those we can sell and hustle. But listen, for the future, because this is Black History time, I got some amazing guests lined up for the shows upcoming. I even got an instructor of Chadwick Boseman at Howard who introduced Felicia to Chadwick. So I got some inside stories for you, Eric. So we got, this is Black History time, dude. Come on, let's show what we're all about. You know?
That's right. Well,
I got a friend, somebody who just called me off the street as I was walking home, taking my walk, introduced himself to me, and he's what they call a historic legend here in D.C., worked at the White House, inside the White House as security. For 20-some years. He's a mentor, African-American male, mentoring young African-American males to go into power and show what we're all about. So, I mean, these are people that are out here who we can tap to be
That's good.
Show
there
our
is,
folks
see?
How to get
That's
there.
That's right. We're going to be talking to a lot of those people, and we got to jump off right now. That dude definitely that used to work at the White House, we like to talk to them. But give the people your sign-off, B. Let them know what's up with you.
Peace and love always, folks. Pay attention. Watch what happens this week because we're celebrating the victory that's ours in the name of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Thank you.
All right.
Peace and love always.
All right, brother. All right, Brother B. We'll talk to you again later. All right. Take care. Yeah, like Byron was saying, you know, it's Martin Luther King, MLK Day. And I guess he would counsel us to just take a couple of deep breaths and be cool, everybody. That's what he would counsel us to be. You know what I mean? So with that, we should remember that and really try to remember what he would want us to do. Keep your head, stay cool, try to show some other people some love, all right? All right, we'll talk again. I'm Kay, Son and Friends. I'm Eric. That's Byron. Brother Wayne Gimmel will be back again. We'll talk to you soon. This is Kay, Son and Friends. Talk to y'all soon.
For freedom in the history of our nation.